Welcome to your booster shot from the AWB Education Network. This podcast series is our opportunity to dive even deeper into the topics and skills that will help you lead your school with confidence. Check out information on our partners along with additional resources and services at www.awbeducation.org. Now, here is your booster shot.
Well, welcome to another episode of Your Booster Shot here on AWB Education. I'm excited to have everybody joining us here today. I've got a great guest today. I've got Todd Bloomer coming to me from San Antonio, Texas. Not a little different weather, I'm assuming, down there than it is up here in Iowa right now, although I can't complain too much. It's not too bad. But welcome, Todd. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, Adam, thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your expertise and why I've got you here on the show a little bit. So you've been in education for quite a while. You've been doing a lot of work here lately with leadership development, especially doing some keynote work and doing some coaching work. Can you talk a little bit about that and just kind of where your focus is when it comes to that type of work right now?
Yeah, 100%. This is year 29 in education for me and, you know, closer to the end than I am the beginning. I originally grew up in New York, now here in San Antonio, Texas. So I'm doing a lot of my work out of the great state of Texas. And, you know, as we transition from one phase of our journey in leadership to another, you know, different things fill our bucket. It sounds cliche, but right now what is truly filling my bucket is pouring back into administrators that will take the keys, the quote unquote keys from us when we hand them off from one position to another. And with so many principals that are leaving the profession now at just record rates, you know, the bench of assistant principals coming up to take our spots is not as deep as it once was. And if you were sitting on the bench for a year or two, as we give our final four analogies, if you're sitting on the bench, you know, coach is calling you in, you know, after a year or two of being an assistant principal. And, you know, it took me 7.5 years to become a principal. That was 7.5 years of being an assistant principal at both a middle school and a high school. And I feel it prepared me really well. And so because we have so many principals leaving and because so many assistant principals are stepping up to the challenge at quicker and quicker rates, right now, my focus really is trying to pour back into administrators that are either aspiring administrators or those that are in the profession that just need a sounding board, a coach, an advocate, a mentor, a champion, or someone to tell them it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that we are at that stage right now where there just seems to be a lot of turnover. I mean, every time I turn around, even in my own district, it seems like we're hiring a new administrator for different roles. And a lot of times we're even promoting from within, which is awesome. That's great. It's just, you have that negative, you know, secondhand piece of having to go find another person there. And I think that's going to be the way education is here for a little bit.
I agree.
So having some people that can collaborate with you and be a colleague as you go through that is awfully darn important. So talk to me a little bit about your core philosophy in leadership. So when you're starting that coaching phase or even for your keynotes in general, what is it that really makes Todd Todd? And what is that message that you're trying to help portray onto other colleagues?
So the keynote that I deliver and I think is my best piece of work, my most inspiring and the one that I am truly proud of is helping you find your blueprint to success.
Yeah.
And it piggybacks off the book, The Blueprint, that I wrote, How to Survive and Thrive as a School Administrator. And really the keynote is kind of what I would do differently. Honestly speaking, that's the keynote. The keynote is, you know, you try to be Superman, you try to be Hercules, you try to be everything you can, and you just burn yourself out. And that leads to what we had just talked about, where people are leaving the profession. And so really what I share in my keynote is, you know, here's 10 years of being a principal, and here's things I would do differently. If I could do this over again, here's what I would do to keep my tenure longer, to keep my family happier, to keep my health better, all of those type of things. And so honestly, it's about a 45-minute keynote in which I basically challenge you to self-evaluate and honestly to put yourself first. And there's so many of us that always say kid first, teacher first, school first, everything else first.
All the time. You bet.
All the time. But us. And our job is like that. If superintendent called me right now during our podcast that we're talking, Adam, you know I'd have to stop the podcast and step out because that's the business that we're in. But family dinners, missed events of my children that are all grown, poor eating, lack of physical activity, lack of sleep, lack of spiritual, you know, guidance and help, all of those things. Like, I think I've learned it and survived. So I've seen where I've made an error. I have now pivoted, and here are things that I've done that I think allow me to lead at a high level. Mm-hmm. And here's what I want to give to you so that when you leave, there's 10 actionable items that you can take away from a keynote to say, I could do this tomorrow and make my life a little bit better, make my family life a little bit better. It also dives into, you know, that nonsense of a home work life balance, because there's no such thing.
Yeah.
And you know, the TV show, the Apple TV show right now, Severance. I don't know if you're watching mm-hmm. Severance.
Yep.
Severance, absolutely. Right? Pretty soon me and you are going to have a medical procedure. So I don't remember home work when I'm at home and home when I'm at work. Yeah. Like that's the how absurd this is. And so really the keynote in my focus right now is trying to let young educators, young Todd Bloomers know, hey, you don't have to be the first in and the last out.
Yes.
Hey, you don't have to work 24/7. You don't have to always be available. You can delegate stuff. You can put on your calendar going for a 2-mile jog. And that is a priority that you have Absolutely. To be able to have. And so I had to learn that the hard way. And luckily, my wife still loves me. My kids still love me. My health is decent. You know, like I learned that. So that's what I'm trying to give back to people that come to hear me talk.
Yeah, I've made that joke before with colleagues or even just with friends of mine. There was a stretch in life where I was, you know, getting going in the administrative realm, and I'm the assistant principal, and I'm also the activities director, and I'm also coaching a sport. And, you know, date night for my wife and I was a Friday at the concession stand deciding if it was hot dog or nacho night.
Because we got a chance to see each other.
Yeah, it's when we're sitting there and we're supervising mm-hmm. a ball game. And mm-hmm. it is, that's part of the life. But like you said, also planning your day around that a little bit mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. not having to feel guilty when you take some time for yourself. I think that's hard for some people to just wrap their minds around. It's okay to say no once in a while.
Yeah. It is okay to delegate. It is okay to say, no, I can't attend this game. It's okay not to be the first in the parking lot. Now the work's got to be done. Like that's the what I coach with my principals that I'm working with now is you can't just leave at 4:30 if the work is not done.
It's true.
Like you got stuff to do now. Okay. So maybe you're going to go home and do it after your kids go to bed. That's fine, but it still has to be done.
Yeah.
So you can't close at 5 o'clock at 4:30 or 4:30 on a Friday and then not do anything school related if you have stuff that needs to be done. Now, I will share, Adam, one of the things that I take away and I really, really stress, and it's one of the most enjoyable days of the week, is my wife and I have a Sunday fun day planned every single Sunday. And go to church in the morning, get a run in, and then we do something. It's a good hamburger. It's a fajitas. Mm-hmm. It's something. It's a walk. San Antonio, Texas, a little different from Iowa when it comes to weather.
Yeah.
Right? I'm able to get out all 12 months and experience a good walk and stuff like that. And really, that is my disconnect. Like, that is my time where, you know, don't make other plans. This is our time. We have, our kids are out and we journey the city and we find a good place to eat. And that really grounds me so that my next week I can be at the absolute best that I can be.
So I know within some of your work and some of your LinkedIn posts, I've caught you talking a little bit about that emotional intelligence piece. Is that kind of what you're talking about here too? Expand on that maybe a little bit for someone who's not familiar with that concept.
Yeah. You know, I mean, just the whole, you know, emotional intelligence piece, just taking care of yourself, taking care of your family is just something that, you know, you can't give if you're constantly, you know, empty. You know, there's an old analogy. Someone said you can't pour from an empty coffee cup. And I used to think those things were, you know, just cliche at times, but it's so true. And like, you have to be able to be good with yourself and you have to know who you are as a leader. And so I'm not a runner, but I like to run. Like that is I'm an 11 minute mile guy. So I'm never going to win an award for what I have, but I got 3 miles in this morning before I went and did all of my things. It grounds me. I also read the Bible in a year. And so right now I'm on, you know, April 5th of reading the Bible in a year, and that starts my day and that grounds me and that inspires me. And it's not a religious talk. It's just who I want to be at this time. And it really gives me 15 minutes to ground myself, a cup of coffee. And then I get into work and I look at my calendar and I plan my calendar and I make sure my calendar reflects my priorities of what I want to do that day. And that is classroom visits, that is with kids, and that is with adults. So that is planned out for what I have. And when I'm there at school, my mindset of whatever is in front of me is the most important and most joyous thing that I'm doing at that moment.
Yeah.
When I go home, Like my wife and I today, it's Saturday, Final Four, San Antonio, Texas, big game tonight. We're going to go downtown and just kind of experience the joy of the being downtown on a Saturday. Absolutely. And we're going to love what's going on at that moment. And so I'll come back Sunday. We'll grab our burger Sunday. Monday, I'll go back to work with a great attitude about being at work and being the champion of my school for what I have. I also feel that the people that you lead have to see you as being the most joyous person on the campus. Like nobody wants to know about my 14 or 16 hour day. They don't care what they don't care. I get paid more money than them. They're like, I don't want to be a principal. Don't come in here being Debbie Downer. And so like I have to be that guy on that campus that knows how I can walk and put a smile on my face and talk to kids and talk to staff. Even when I got people in my ear about things that are stressful or important. So really just that emotional intelligence about knowing who I am as a leader, knowing my strengths and knowing what I need to be successful. And that was hard. That's a little bit written in my book, a little bit in chapter 6 of my book. And it is something I had to learn the hard way was who is Todd Bloomer as a leader? How do I articulate that? How do I communicate that to my staff so that nobody has to read my mind as to what I expect or what hill I'm willing to die on or what hill I'm not going to die on.
You know, you were talking about that. And I think back to that same thing with me. I remember when that was a push was like, you got to understand yourself. You got to know who you are. And at first I'm like, come on, that's, I got work to do. I have a job to do, right? I got checks or boxes to check. I got to do all this stuff. And I didn't really understand that. I didn't know how to do all of that work. I didn't know how to do all of the check boxes until I figured out that I need to understand me. I need to understand what that means to me and how my mission and vision and everything within the work we're doing actually applies to that. So I really appreciate you sharing that part, Todd. That does. It means a lot. And it's hard for young administrators, I think, to understand that piece that it isn't just cliche. It isn't just school talk. It's really important. We do have to understand ourselves.
And to piggyback on that, something I think that I've learned through the journey is the vulnerability piece of just doing that, of knowing that I am the campus principal of a school of 2,500 students, 250 adults, exponential number of parents that live, you know, in my deal. I'm not good at everything I do. And I don't like everything that the job has. And so I surround myself with people that I can say, this is not my strength. Yeah. And I surround myself with people that is their strength. And I defer to their decision-making when it comes time. Ultimately, I cast the final vote. Like Todd Bloomer is the one who's, I can't say, well, I don't like to, you know, look at that. So I asked Adam to do it and Adam told me to do it. Well, you know what, Bloomer, you're the principal. This is your ultimate decision. Yep. And so, but I have to have good people that I trust and I can listen to and they will give me good guidance, but then also support them. Mm-hmm. Like I have a dean of math for a reason. I have a curriculum assistant principal for a reason. I have a head football coach, athletic director for a reason. I have a head band director. Who am I to tell the band director who should be the third tuba in the symphony band? Like I have a band director that does that. And so realizing that, that's a vulnerability piece because like, I don't know. And I'm free to tell my staff, I don't know all the answers. I will find the answers. And I think people appreciate that because nobody's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I say that all the time. If we're waiting for me to be the smartest person that knows all of this stuff, we're not going to be very good. we're not going to get a lot done around here if you're waiting for me to be the grand poobah of all information. That's not going to happen. Let's transition a little bit into, let's talk a little bit of innovation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I know that's also from what I've seen with your LinkedIn posts and just some of the work I've seen of yours. Innovation's a big piece for you. Talk to me a little bit about how educators can like cultivate that culture of innovation within schools, within districts, within even the classroom level. How do you cultivate that culture? How do you get that going?
You know, we just had this conversation Friday at the flagpole at dismissal. And so it's fascinating that we're talking about it now. And I will tell you, it was 92 degrees at the flagpole at dismissal yesterday.
It was 92 degrees at the flagpole.
It was unseasonably early warm. Yeah. A little bit of a cool front end. We'll be in the 60s, 70s, and 80s for the week. But it was 92 yesterday. And I had a great conversation with my math dean. And we're preparing for the state assessment coming up in 3 weeks. Yeah. And the math dean, they're like, hey, you know, we need to do something different. Like we have to, you know, we have a class of kids and there's 6 or 7 Algebra 1 teachers. And so what they did, like they came to me with an idea, they owned it. I supported it. And I think it's going to be really the future of the way that we might teach math or other subjects at Churchill High School in San Antonio, Texas. So think about your math class. You got 25, 30 kids in the math class. You got kids that know the material, kids that are getting the material, kids that don't know the material. You got some special needs kids in there that have, you know, IEPs. You got emerging bilingual kids who are learning the language. It's a very difficult class to teach. Teaching in general is difficult. So we end up teaching to the middle. And we end up teaching to the middle. We try to differentiate, but there's so many moving pieces that we can't. So our math team got together, and I thought this was pretty innovative within a school, within a department, and said, what if first period, there's three math teachers teaching Algebra 1 during first period? What if we took a group of kids that were rocking it out of the ballpark, and first period they went to Mr. Smith? And what if we took kids that were getting it? Hey, we're there. And they went to Mr. Jones. Yep. And what if we took a group of kids that were struggling and just needed that smaller, you know, more intense focus on that? And they went to, you know, Mrs. Smith or something, making up names for what we have. And we did that. And so this was the first week that we completed what we call flexible grouping within our math classes. And it's unbelievable. I went in twice, and feedback that I've received is teachers are seeing different kids, which let's face it, sometimes
that's okay.
Kids are with different kids. So if you're a high flyer and you're not challenged, well, now over this next 3 weeks, you're with a group that's going to challenge you. And if you're like, I don't know, and I don't know how to ask, you're with a group that you don't need to ask, because we're asking, we're doing the asking for you by providing this for you. And all of the teachers left this week a little bit tired, because let's face it, teaching is tired, but they left with an extra pep in their step that they're doing something innovative that's going to be what's best for kids. And we didn't need some kind of initiative passed. We didn't need legislation passed. They came to me with an idea. We have cultivated a school of respect where I'm looking to say yes to teachers that want to do cool, innovative things. And I said, great. And I said to the one teacher that I thought might have a little bit of pushback Friday, I said to her, how'd it go? And she goes, any kid now that I teach is my kid, and I'm going to get them successful. And it was that attitude that was absolutely incredible, because she's teaching the kids that are the ones that we need the push to be able to pass. The proof will be in the pudding at the, you know, the end. But I told my, the flagpole discussion was, let's continue this. Let's get proof of concept and let's continue this, because Algebra 1 is the gatekeeper at our school. That is the foundation, right? It's everywhere. And if you pass, you're going to graduate. If you don't, you're on track to not graduate. So that is something that I think could be innovative. Now, I will share moonshot thinking, something that I think down the road where a large high school is going to be, because as we're facing staffing and we're facing reductions in staffing and declining enrollment for what we have, and Austin, Texas, our capital right now, is not pro public education. Like, it's really hard. And, you know, somehow we become a villain at times. We went from COVID, being the hero to, like, what's going on? I truly think, like, in my mind, 11th to 12th grade is going to be a community college concept. And if you're taking, you're taking U.S. history, you might not take it on my campus. You may be bused to another campus. And while you're there, you may take your PE or you may take something else. And we're going to have to capitalize on some remote options. And we're going to have to capitalize on teachers, because, you know, I don't have all the teachers that I need. I have vacancies I haven't filled all year. And I really think we're going to have to rethink the 8:30 to 4 o'clock model of sitting first to eighth period. And you may take U.S. history Tuesdays and Thursdays for 2 hours, and you may take it at a different campus. And you know what? I used to offer five or six foreign languages. You want to take German, you have to take German online at night, because I can't offer that. And it's not like, but I just think it's like, and then I also think if I'm going to prepare a kid to go up to Iowa or Iowa State, you know, somewhere up there, Buena Vista, you know, Drake, you know, some of them great Iowa colleges that I'm naming there, Northern Iowa, like, you're not going to sit in a college class from 8:50 in the morning, take a 5 minute passing period, and then go to second period. So we're not preparing our top kids for the, you know what, I don't have this class for 2 days. So how do I plan for that? How do I, you know, go to an hour and a half class or a 2.5 hour class? Like, I think it could be a lot of benefit to it. So that's my really innovative, that takes, you know, initiatives, and that takes district to move. But I think that would be what's best for kids if we were able to do that.
Well, I realize that it's still, even to this day, still kind of a five-letter swear word when we say COVID. But, you know, getting through that time and through the pandemic, taught us a lot about what you were just talking about. We made it. I mean, it was ugly, and especially because we didn't really have time to plan. We just kind of jumped right on in and hoped it worked, right? But it did teach us that some hybrid type versions of high school can be successful. I mean, my own kids coming out of that, I've got two kids in college now, one that's only got a year and a half to go. And they all were like, this is pretty awesome. I kind of like this. And I kept telling, well, you know what? You're going to have that here soon, because that's kind of what college is going to look like for you. But for a lot of our kids, having that opportunity to, you know, there are good jobs during the day. If I can go to school for a couple days a week or in the mornings only, and I can still get my diploma and get everything that I need to do to be able to be prepared for the next step in life. Oh, and also go get started in that career ahead of time, because I'm not looking for a 4-year college, or I have something else in my plans. That is awesome. And if we can not be in the way of that, why not be innovative? I think that's really good. You know, you're talking about that flex scheduling piece. And it makes me think a lot of districts, they think, oh, well, we've got this MTSS pyramid, or excuse me, MTSS period, right? We have this built into our schedule. This is when we're going to MTSS our kids up, which that sounds great. That's awesome. But the fact of taking that more innovative approach to say, we don't have to wait for that period. We can do it with what we've got. We can do that with the people we have right here, just by making good data-driven decisions. And just stepping outside of the box a little bit and understanding that we can just work together now and not have to wait for that time.
You don't have to wait for permission to be great. And that's the philosophy that leadership needs to instill on its people. Like you said, I'm not the smartest guy, but I was smart enough to realize we had a really good idea. And I had the backing of some teachers that wanted to try something. And you know what? What we had done previously wasn't working for all kids. And so at the end of this 3-week period that we're doing this, we'll assess, we'll do a debrief, what worked, what didn't go, what would we do differently? Maybe it's more push-in from other support that we can free up a master schedule. All of a sudden, biology is going to want to do this. English 1 and 2 are going to want to do this. Wait a second, why can't foreign language? All of a sudden, now we got people collaborating. Why can't we share kids across what we have? And then you know what? The kids are like, you know what? If this is beneficial to me, I'm going to try harder. I didn't know what I was doing for 3 weeks or 6 weeks in math, but now I do.
Yeah. Get a little confidence. It's going to help me out a little
confidence.
Bit.
This is for me. And that's the part that we really want to be able to do. And so if anybody's listening that wants to do stuff like that, I say create that atmosphere where teachers are willing to take that risk and then look for reasons to say yes. And as long as it's not violating anything that's going on, you can say yes to just about a lot of things on your campus to create that innovation. And also, people want to be a part of innovation. People want to be a part of things that works. And so when you're talking about a teacher shortage, you're also talking about teachers that will go out and say, hey, you know what we were able to do? We were able to really flex and meet the needs of our kids. And why don't you come work with us? And so it becomes a recruiting tool also, where people talk about the culture and the atmosphere on the campus, collegial and academically.
So you talked a little bit about, you had one particular teacher in your example that you're given that, you know, a little hesitant on it at first. If you are giving some advice to a school leader that is trying to do something innovative like you're talking about here, you're going to have some people that are going to struggle a little bit with that concept of change, you know, moving the cheese, moving their salt shaker, take your educational cliche that we all use. How do you coach people to get to that point? Or what I'm looking for is, what inspiration would you give to an administrator that would give them some tips to how I can work with people to understand that this is something we need to try to at least give a shot at and try to work through.
My first year as a principal, you know that don't change anything, don't do anything, just sit back and observe, and because anything you do is a change. Mm-hmm. And so I struggled my first year. So really in year two, I really realized that before I could effectively change anything, from the time we did this to the time we did that, was people had to really know. And I had to get real clear. Let me start by saying that I had to get real clear on what was important to me and my clarity in who Todd Bloomer was.
Sure.
And so I am a firm believer. I got a principal I'm coaching right now in a different state. And in my opinion, the staff doesn't know him. They don't know his heart. They don't know where he stands. They don't know the clarity that he needs to be able to give. So we're working on
back up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stop, step back, regroup. And so, this is every Monday morning email that we start with starts with my Sunday fun day. Like I talk about what I did over the weekend because family is important to our school and we talk about that. And I tell people where I went to eat and so many conversations are, I tried that burger place. Have you tried this place? Unbelievable. The connections, just talking about food brings to people. But also I'm a big doorway conversation guy. You know, people before paper cliches were all over the place today. But when the bell rings and kids are out, the principal has to be out. And the principal has to be down the hallway. And if you're standing at your door, I need to stop and talk to you about your children in college, about Final Four, about fantasy football, about anything except school, because we're building a relationship. And once you get to know somebody, then you can trust them. And then through those emails and every chance I have to talk, I talk about the fact that, A, I live down the road from Churchill High School. All five of my kids graduated from Churchill. I'm fully invested. I have a chip on my shoulder about my campus, and I want what's best for my campus. And I want everybody to see what I see. So I expect great things. And we talk about that all the time. We talk about high expectations. We talk about, you know, delivering, and we talk about family, and we talk about taking care of all kids, and we talk about all meaning all. Yeah. And once you get to know somebody and do that, then you can start with the change. Everybody knows at Churchill High School what's important to me and what hill I will die on. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. So with resistance, you know, you're going to face resistance all the time. You're going to face resistance, resistance the minute you get named. Somebody's going to miss the old principal. Somebody who hated the old principal is all of a sudden going to romanticize the old principal and say, I wish so-and-so was here because they don't like you. So I would say to that principal or leader that's facing that resistance and pushback, you have to make sure you're crystal clear on who you are and what is important to you. And you have to match and back up your words. And you can't be a principal from your office. You have to be with Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln said it best. I am with the people as I am getting insight as to what's going on. I am in a PLC. I am in a hallway, the most traveled place at Churchill High School during the school day. That is where my duty spot is every single passing period because I want to put myself there. Then I walk the campus. I try to visit every teacher every day and I try to thank them. Thank you for being at your door during passing period. Mm-hmm. Do you need something? Can I help you? This kid's not listening. I'll deal with that in the moment right now. Because one of the things that we talk about, you will never disrespect a teacher or prevent others from learning at Churchill High School. And you have a choice. You can sit there like a young man or young woman, like we expect you to do, or I'm going to remove you and you're going to have consequences. We don't tolerate that. Teachers love that, but I need to back that up for what I have. So once I've laid that groundwork as to who I am, and it's not easy, okay? Once I've laid that groundwork, I don't mind having a conversation with a resistant teacher to say, help me understand why what we're doing in your mind might not work, because I might have blinders on. And if you just don't want to do it because you don't want to do it, then just tell me that. I can understand that. But if you're telling me, here's why, then I need to say, okay, hold on. You got a valid point. Let's think about that before we execute our plan. Now, if you're doing something wrong by kids, I don't care about resistance. Yeah. We're going to have that conversation right away.
That's a whole different talk.
That's a different ball of wax, right? Absolutely. Like if you're just bad for kids, you're not going to be on my campus because my neighbors on both sides of me have children that attend my school currently. And so when I go to the mailbox, I have to look at those folks. And if they tell me, hey, that teacher, man, oh man. And if what they're telling me is true, shame on me for allowing that to occur. So if you're bad for kids, that's not resistance. You need to document and you need to either coach them up or coach them out 100%. Yep. But if you just are hesitant about what's going on, I would say build that track record of getting to know them and asking them why. Sometimes our resistant folks were burned out because they got burned earlier. And if we can empower them, like I'm here to hear your voice because you've been doing this 20 years. Like, what have you learned? Why don't you think this? And then through questioning, you'll find the root of it. And at the end of the root of resistance is I'm comfortable in my way and I don't want to do that. I understand that. But right now, this is the direction we're going because the kids need this. This isn't Todd Bloomer's plan. Yep. The students in your class. And I would share the data in your is showing
that data
me
piece is going to help push that conversation.
Is not it. And then when you can start, and this is a great thing, and the last thing I'll share, and we can elaborate on it, you know, if anybody want to talk about it further, when you start talking about data, numbers are numbers, and you can glaze over data. But if you put pictures to data, and you put a 14-year-old boy or 17-year-old girl, and you put that child right there is not on track to graduate from your class. That child right there has made no academic progress sit in your class all year.
Yep.
That child right there, like that's hard because that's
really hard to look past that.
That's somebody's pride and joy.
Yep.
That's somebody who's doing their best. And we, you know, we talk like you can't control what a mom or dad, we got them here and yeah. we can control them. Cause generally speaking, we have really, really awesome kids that are respectful and polite. I can say that. I had a parent tell me it's like a giant private school. We have good kids that live up to the expectations that we have. And with that said, and teach, inspire them. And we've created, if you're not happy with what's going on, let's step outside the box and let's try to make it work. Because that's the case. So at the end of the day, it's a long game that you're playing with resistance. And I would tell you, if somebody's talking about you and you can lay your head on the pillow at night, knowing you've done right by kids and your school in large, just go to bed.
Sleep well, my friend.
Sleep well. I can sleep at night with full peace, knowing that not everybody likes me, but I like kids. I like my staff. I like my community. I do what's right. And if you can get that mindset, that took a while.
Yep.
Oh, and I want people to like me. Well, go sell ice cream. Cause if you sell ice cream, everybody loves ice cream. Not everybody's going to like you as a leader.
That's you know, facts, right? As you're talking there, it reminds me of a former colleague that I used to work with that I always said, and this was, I think, amazing advice. He said, you know, banks require you to make deposits before you can make withdrawals, and teachers and students do too. And that's mm-hmm, a lot of what you're talking about there is you have to put some work in mm-hmm. and it shouldn't feel like work though. That's the part I enjoy. I mean, I'd love to just, you know, shoot the breeze with my staff all the time after I'm remind myself like, we probably actually better get to work here. even though that's going to build down the road, of course, mm-hmm, but. Mm-hmm. Last little bit I wanted to talk about before we wrap this up here today, Todd, you know, a lot of what you've been discussing here, this is awesome work, but also we mentioned at the beginning of our show here that it's hard to do this all on your own. In fact, it's nearly impossible to do this all on your own. So the only way we're going to be successful is to develop some leadership from within. Absolutely. So if I'm in a leadership role, again, it's like back in the days when I was a head football coach, I couldn't coach all of the positions. I needed people to do that work. And so I had to develop my coaches so they could develop our team. Mm-hmm. If I'm a school leader right now and I'm trying to develop my team to get leaders out of my team to help keep pushing this work forward, what are some of those things that I can focus on? Am I giving me some quick wins to start building some of that capacity mm-hmm. within my team?
Asking your staff for input on decisions like that, you know, as far as my leadership team goes, I've got every crazy idea in the world. If you want all my ideas, I'll just give you all my ideas. But like asking the core leadership team, like, how would you answer this? How would you mm-hmm. respond to this? What would you do? Okay. That's giving them an opportunity, ultimately final vote, Todd Bloomer, but yep. giving them an opportunity to be able to say, so I've learned over the last couple of years, assistant principal comes to me with it, with a I got a dilemma. What would you do? So I'm trying to get them to think like a leader. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, our job, I think, is to tell individuals on our campus that are staff members, not assistant principals yet or in leadership positions yet, that we see leadership potential in them and then breathe that life into them. So the great math teacher, the football coach, the basketball coach, the special education director is to say, have you thought about leadership? And so mm-hmm. really trying to inspire that into kids. And I'll take it even one step further. Like I think it's your job as a principal to talk to your student body about getting into public education or education in general. So any opportunity that I have to talk to them, I'm trying to inspire them to think about one day returning to Churchill High School to work with your favorite science teacher, to work with your orchestra director, or work with them. So I think our job is to like inspire and put through delegation, put our assistant principals in spots to be successful. I also think it's my job to be that bridge between central office to say to them, here's the five assistant principals I have. Here's their strengths. And you know what? I'm going to give you an input on where I think they should go next mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. Not that they listen to me, but here's where I think my assistant principal Hector Prellis should be next year. Here's where I think Lily Calloway should be next year. Uh-huh. So it's giving central office where I see them as potential leaders. Then it's making sure they know that you need to start manifesting yourself into thinking like a principal, acting like a principal, maybe dressing like a principal, and making sure you're known at central office because sure. you're rocking it at Churchill High School, but our decision makers knowing you. So how do you volunteer to be known at central office? And then I tap into my staff to say, I think you should be a leader. And that could be stuff like, you know, asking you to come up and be an assistant principal for a day when we're short. Mm-hmm. And having you come up and wear the walkie-talkie and walk the hall and give you the excitement as to what's going on.
Sure.
That's the excitement part. And then I think even long-term, when you speak to your senior class, you need to talk to them. Hey, listen, when you go off and you go to work or the military or you go into college and you know what, you think about, I don't know what I want to do in life and I want to give back and I want to make a good experience. Think about the experience you had here and I will hire you. If you send me your resume, I will get you in my cluster if you want to be elementary school. If you want to come back and be my cheer coach, I want to come back with someone that went through the cheer program, that knows the traditions, that knows the experience, wants to duplicate that. Yeah. And we've got like double digit former Churchill Chargers that are back teaching at our school. And I think that's amazing. On top of about 18 or 20 staff members that have their own personal children there. So yeah. I think that adds a real unique layer. And so I think it's our job to inspire leadership. And I think it's also our job to show the joy that we have in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So when people look at us, I'm not Debbie Downer walking around looking like, you know, I lost my dog or something.
Yeah.
I look like I'm enjoying myself. I look like, you know, I look like I'm Tim Duncan when I go into a basketball game. People cheer for me. I went and sat in a softball dugout last night, 92 degrees, mm-hmm. sat in a softball dugout. And when I came in, the girls circled up around me and cheered for me with this little home run cheer they do when mm-hmm. someone hits a home run because the principal showed up there. When parents see that, other people see that, they're like, I'd like to do that. Now yeah. there's a lot that I don't let them yeah. see, right? We know that. Like, yeah. there's a lot of nonsense, but allowing people to see the joy I have in my job allows people to say, I want to go into leadership.
That's really neat. I think part of that too for us is to remind ourselves that the world isn't really what we only see on social media. There's a whole lot more out there.
Facts, right?
I mean, that's hard. I get that. There's a lot of negativity around education in general all over the place. I don't think it matters where you're at.
No, it doesn't.
And it's easy to get caught up in that. But at the end of the day, if you turn away from social media and turn your face towards those kids like you're talking about, those softball mm-hmm. players that are cheering just because their principal showed up to a game.
Who does that?
Why not want to do this yeah. job? Why not want to keep?
And we won 8-2, sole possession of second place.
We haven't made
the playoffs probably in softball in 15 years.
So this is
a great run right now that we're a part of. And it's fun. Buy a bag of sunflower seeds, sit in the dugout, learn the cheers, give out yep. the sunflower seeds, high five the girls. You go home on a Friday feeling pretty darn good about yourself.
Not a lot of pressure for you right there. That's for sure. Take advantage of that. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, Todd, this has been fun, and I want to do this again sometime in the future because we could go on for a long, long, long time.
I'm hoping to connect in July.
That's true.
Sit down face to face.
Maybe. So here, give our listeners, how do they get a hold of you? If they want to hear more from you, want to partner with you, or just want to like I've done, just dive into the work that you've got out there. What's the best way to get a hold of?
So I got a website, toddmbloomer.com. Great. My wonderful, beautiful daughter, Bethany, maintains it for me. Family affair.
Yep.
On LinkedIn, I'm Todd Bloomer. On X, I'm Bloomer_SA. And just launched myself a Instagram page, Todd_Bloomer_author. So that's kind of my baby as I'm kind of going there. Social media is just a great way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly speaking, I tell anybody that reaches out to me, if you reach out and you want to connect, I will be that lifeline because I had so many people that were lifelines to me allowed me to be successful. And it would be disingenuous to me to turn my back on someone that reached out and said, can you share a Monday memo? Can you just listen to me vent? Because as I started, I moved from the great state of New York to Houston, Texas out of college and didn't know anybody. Yeah. And if I didn't have great mentors, I would have went back home and lived in my parents' basement and I became an administrator and had great mentors and I have great mentors now. And so if anybody connects and just says, I need 45 minutes, can we do a phone call? I might need to find that time, but I will find that time because that brings me great joy. And our profession needs people that just like me and you are committed to the cause mm-hmm. and that want to do right by kids and teachers and want to leave a lasting legacy where someone says, you know, I might not have agreed with everything he did, but he loved kids and he loved this school.
Yep.
And if somebody says that, Like, that's like really the ultimate compliment about your legacy as a teacher. Now, I'd also like them to say, or a community member, I'd also like them to say, you know, he really modeled for me how to take care of family and put family first. And I really, you know, I did a poor job of that. So I'm really trying right now to do that. And any chance I get to talk to somebody about anything about family related, like that's joy. And if I know, I've got one of those unique memories where I can remember kids and stuff. If I know your kid plays baseball for a rival school, I always have the ability to remember, how did your son do? Tell me a little bit about, you know, in that, you talk about teachers beaming with pride when the principal remembers their 8-year-old played in a little league game and the principal asked how you did. Like, and that builds the connection to be able to have that difficult conversation to say,
absolutely,
what are we doing here? Come on, let's, what are we doing here? And that's a body of work that takes a lot to get to. But when you reach that pinnacle, like you're, I can say this, every athletic event, every team, every fine art, every department is moving and trending in the right direction at Churchill High School. And that's not because of me, it's about because we've hired great people.
Yep.
And I walk alongside them, not behind them.
Yep.
And I empower them to make decisions. I support them and I have joy being around them. Mm-hmm. And that just makes the feng shui, whatever that word actually means, the feng shui is off the charts at Churchill High School.
I don't know for a fact, but I think it's pretty easy for me to guess that all of those teams, all of those groups understand what the mission is and understand what the goal is and all believe in what it is that you're trying to do as a collective. That's really awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Todd. I appreciate you jumping on here today and joining us on this episode of your Booster Shot. Again, listeners, if you are looking for more from Todd, all of his information will not only be in the links in the description, but also we will include his information on the AWB Education webpage, along with a link to his book, if you're looking for that book. The Blueprint's a great book. So if you're looking for that, we've got a link directly there, make it easy to find for you. But one more time, thanks again, Todd. Enjoy the weather down in San Antonio. And
sir, sunshine outside right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Same here. I can't complain. It's another good day to be an educator. So
there you go. Yes, sir.
Thanks again for joining me. Thanks again, Boosters, for listening to us. We will talk with you again next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of your Booster Shot from AWB Education. Want to join in this mission? We are always looking for partners to help provide what our school leaders need to thrive and survive. Contact us through our webpage at www.awbeducation.org to get connected. Otherwise, remember, you are doing the job that only a few are strong enough to do. Thanks for being one of the few. We will talk with you again next time.